Okay, we've been discussing some halachas of hilchos muksa, and we went through different categories of muksa. We spoke about different types of utensils, those that are called klish melachta laheter, those kelim which are their main usages for heter, which are mutter to move. You can move them in their normal way for any litzarech, for any need, if you just want to play with it, to fiddle them around, you're allowed to move them. Included in this is moving tables, chairs, anything which is its usage is for heter. Then we have klish melachta l'isser. Those are kelim which are used for isser. Their main usage is for isser, for something which is prohibited to do on Shabbos, and that's mutter to move in its normal way for the tzarech gufa mekaymai, if you need to use it or for its place. Or if there's another substantial reason, but if you're moving it for the protection of the item, that's not allowed. Then we moved on to Muktzah Sarkis, which is something which is in essence a klish melachta l'isser, something which is main usage for isser. However, I'm so makbid on not using it for anything except for its usage that it remains like, on Shabbos, is like a stone, which is muktzah, you're not allowed to move it at all. And therefore, that led us into the category of muktzah machmas gufay, which is all these items which are not utensils, not food, and not kisvei kodesh, they're not svarim. They have no usage by themselves, like stones, rocks, pebbles, piece of wood, things which, until you give it a usage, it has no usage. True, it could be used as a paperweight, but it's not a paperweight until it's made into a paperweight. So until I give it a usage, it is muksa. This muksa includes any type of movement would be mutter. However, if one would touch the muksa without moving it, just touch it. Touching muksa alone is not usr. Moving muksa is usr. So what happens if I touch muksa and it moves a little but doesn't move out of its place? It's still stationed in its place. That's fine. That's fine. As long as it's not being moved out of its place. Now, if let's say I have something like an egg where when I touch it, it's going to roll out of its place, then I'm not allowed to touch it. That even touching is not allowed. But in normal instances, just to touch it would be fine. So if I would have a pile of stones, which is muksa, outside and outside, there's a pile of stones. It's permitted to sit on the stones, even though they're muksa, and even though they may move a little, but they're not moving out of its place. To walk on grass, to walk on sand, to walk on dirt, which dirt is muksa, even though you're moving it around, but since it's being moved by your feet, it's not being moved by your hands, it's not a normal way of moving things, that's mutter. And the truth is, it's mutter to move muksa with your foot in any case. Let's say there's a stone right in the middle of the sidewalk and you want to kick it to the side so someone doesn't trip over it. Not to know where it's dangerous, right? If it's dangerous, then you let it move it. But even if it's not dangerous, just to kick it to move it to the side would be mutter because you're doing it with your foot. That would be mutter. And even if it's something which you want to save it, let's say you see a wallet or some money. You see some money lying on the floor. Now this money has no simen. If it was during the week, I pick it up and I can keep it. So now it's Shabbos. I don't want to lose it. So, and I don't want to have to stand there the entire Shabbos with my foot on top of it. I could kick it to the side into a hiding spot and come back after Shabbos to get it. So I'm allowed to move the muksa with my foot. Similarly, if I want to move muksa with my elbow, I can move my elbow or push it with my shoulder. All this is what's called a tiltul begufa. You're moving it with your guf, you're not moving it with your hands, and that is mutter. We also find that if I want to blow muksa, to blow muksa is mutter also. It's not the normal way of moving muksa. I'm not moving it with my hands, that's mutter. There's another thing called tiltul min hatzad. Tiltul min hatzad means I'm not directly moving it. I'm moving it through something else. I'm pulling something which is mutter, and that's causing the muksa to fall down, to move. I have in my freezer, I have a pile of challahs with some raw meat, and as we spoke in a previous share, that raw meat in general is muksa, or flour, or something that's muksa over there sitting on top of my challah. I can pull my challah out even though the muksa is now being moved because of my challah. That is mutter. Now, there's a halach over here which is called a basis. The word basis means a base. If I take something which is mutter and I make it a base, a holder for something that's muksa at the beginning of Shabbos, when Shabbos starts, this mutter item is being used as a base, as a holder for the muksa, the mutter item gets the halacha of the muksa and remains a muksa throughout Shabbos. So therefore, if let's say at the beginning of Shabbos I had my leichter. My leichter was standing on the table and there was no challahs, no svarim on my table, just my leichter. My leichter is on the table. So my table is now being used as a holder, as a base for the leichter, which is muksa. Now, what happened was Shabbos, the guy, whatever his name, the guy in the house, the cleaning lady, came and took the leichter off the table and put it somewhere else. The table remains muksa throughout Shabbos, even though the leichter is not there anymore. This table remains muksa. Why? Because since when Shabbos started, now when we talk about Shabbos starting, we're talking about the Bein HaShemashis period of the beginning of Shabbos, which means the first 13 and a half minutes after Shkia. Look at the calendar, you see Shkia, the next 13 and a half minutes is what's called Bein HaShemashis, it's an in-between time. But if during that time, this Devar Heta, this Mutter item was being used as a base for the Aser, so if my Leichter was there when Shabbos started. Now, there is a question. Let's say I knew that the guy is going to come and take the Leichter off the table. So I had das that should be there, but it's not going to be there for the whole Shabbos. Does the table become a basis or not? In a case of need, then we'll be Mekel. But in a case where you planned on leaving it there for Shabbos, and now just the guy took it off, the table will remain muksa throughout Shabbos. I cannot move the table in a normal way. I can move with my body, I can move through something else if I need to. That will be mutter. There is a basic difference between a... we'll go back there. So that's a basis. Now, in order to make something into a basis, there are many tonight, there are many conditions over here. One condition is that I had to be put there bikavana, with intention. I had to have intention that I want this table to be the base, the holder for the candle, for the candelabra, for the leichter. If I just forgot it over there, I did not put it there with intention, I just left it there, I forgot it, then if the guy will take the leichter off the table, I will be able to move the table. And even if the guy does not take off the table, so then the halacha is as follows. And this is true any time I forgot muksa on something which is mutter. I didn't place it there with intention, I just forgot it over there. The halacha is that if it's possible to shake off the muksa from on the heter, if it would be possible for me to shake off the, let's say I left some stones on the table and now I want to shake it off, or some muksa toys, that's a better, more practical example, let's say, okay, toys we mentioned last week that may not be muksa, but let's say I have something which is muksa, I left the mixer on the table, so if I could shake the table, just move the table without moving it out of its place, shake the table and the muksa will fall off, then that I need to shake the table and the muksa should fall off. But if, let's say, I cannot do it because the mixer will break, or because it'll just fall on the floor and I'm going to need the room on the floor, so I gain nothing by shaking it off, then I can move the table, which is moving the muksa through the table also, without a problem. So again, so the rule is that if I forgot muksa on something which is mutter, I did not have kavanah to leave it there. It was forgotten over there. And forgotten includes let's say on Thursday I put the muksa down on the table, and on Thursday I had intention that I'm going to come back to it. I didn't have any specific intention whether I'm going to move it before Shabbos or not, but I forgot it over there. Forgetting it over there is called forgetting. Even though I didn't have das first, I'm going to take it off. Friday morning also, if I just put it down on the table, didn't have das to take it off, not take it off, but I didn't have plans to leave it there for Shabbos, that's called that I forgot it. In any case where I forgot it on the table, rule number one is if it's possible to shake off the muksa, that's what you need to do. If not, then you can move the muksa through the Dava Heter to where you need to bring it to. Do I have to? If I could shake it off, then yes. But if not, then I can move it with the muksa.
But let's say you don't want to move the table, you want to use the table.
Oh, then no. Then you can leave it on the table. Again, there's no issa to even touch muksa. I'm saying, so for sure the muksa can stay on the table. There's no problem.
Like the candlesticks, you left it on.
No problem.
Put anything on.
No problem. Just leave it there. No problem. But in case I want to move the table, then I'll have halacha. There's absolutely no problem with that. Now, in order to make a basis, you need the only one that can make a basis is the owner. If I have guests over and they decided to put their muksa stuff on one of the chairs in the room, and they decided they put it there, that's where they're going to keep it for Shabbos, my chair does not become a basis because they're not the bialim to make it into a basis. That's another point. It has to be the owner who makes it to the buses. If let's say I have a draw, yeah.
The owner of the muksa or the owner of the item?
The owner of the item, that's heter. He can't take my thing and make it a buses for his muksa. So if they're a guest in my house and they decide they're going to store the muksa on my chair, and I need the chair so it won't be muksa. I mean, we'll have to shake off the muksa, we can't touch it. Let's say I have a drawer, and I throw all my stuff in the drawer. And there happens to be that there's some mutter things in the drawer, not so expensive, not worth too much. And then I threw some nice piece of a tape recorder or something into the drawer, and it's sitting on top of the mutter thing. So I just threw it in there. Do I want it to be on top of the mutter thing? No, I just want it to be in the drawer. I don't care where in the drawer, just be in the drawer. So that's not called that I put it there with intention to be on the mutter. So then what's holding it does not become muksa. I mean, this is very common in the freezer or the fridge. You put things into the freezer on top of each other, not because you dafka want that the challah should hold up the meat. So even though you put the meat down on top of the challah, that was just the first spot you found, so you put it over there. So the challah doesn't become a basis to the meat, and now we make muksa. So then I can pull the challah out, and by doing that, the muksa will fall off. Now what's interesting is, there's another rule over here, that when you have something made up of a few parts, I'll give you an example of that soon, only the main part could become a basis. For example, I have a refrigerator. Now, the refrigerator is made up of, what, you use a refrigerator to keep things cool? You have shelves, put things on the shelves, drawers, but on the door there's a shelf over there where people store things. Eggs, spices. Now, the door of the fridge, its main usage is to close it, to make sure that the hariya doesn't get in the fridge. That's the main usage of the door of a fridge. So now the question is, if I'm storing my spices that are muksa, or let's say cooking spices or eggs, which are muksa, I'm storing that on the door of the refrigerator, does that mean I cannot move the door? I can't open and close the door? The answer is that since the main function of this door is not to hold the eggs, it's to keep the fridge closed, So therefore, it does not become a basis to the eggs. Same thing as if I left my pocketbook hanging on the door of my room, the door does not become a basis to the pocketbook, even though I put it there and I had in mind I want to leave it there for Shabbos. It does not become a basis to it. Oh, so we can get to that in a minute. Very good. Good point. We're talking about right now only Yisr. Let's say it was only Yisr. Now, it's possible that in the middle of Shabbos, I can make something muksa. If, let's say, somehow, one of the children picked up something muksa and they put it on top of something that's mutter. So what happens right now is I am not allowed to move. Let's say they came and they put something muksa on the table. I cannot move the table as long as the muksa is on it. But if then he comes and takes the muksa off, the table does not remain muksa. Meaning, the buses, the table that had the licht on when Shabbos started, that even after the licht is removed, remains muksa. But the table that did not have muksa on it when Shabbos started, just someone put muksa on it on Shabbos, then I cannot move the table unless I go through the rules that we mentioned before. If you can shake off the muksa, you have to shake off the muksa. If you can't shake it off, so then you could move the table with the muksa or put something mutter down on the table, as we'll say soon.
A child's kid can't have his bambais?
No, so that's why he can't make it a basis. But as long as the muksa is sitting on the table and the table is holding the muksa, so then right now it's being used to hold the muksa, so then it's muksa.
But you said before that if a guest put something, he could shake it
right
off.
Right. So then I can do the same thing with the table. I can shake it off.
And the table's not muksa.
And then the table won't be muksa. But as long as it's on the table, then I have rules. And what am I allowed to do?
That's actually interesting, because in the first class we said that, let's say you want to use the hammer as a nutcracker.
Right.
Now you're allowed to take the hammer, put it back in wherever you want. Let's say the place that you wanted it is, let's say, I don't know, on a plastic chair. You didn't think you would need that folding chair in the kids' bedroom, you put it there. You're the owner. Now you made the chair bustless on Shabbos.
Okay, so it goes like this.
Yeah.
If it's something which is a klish m'lachta l'isser, I know before I just said example, that was a bad example, but if it's a klish m'lachta l'isser, it could be there's no buses. So I could, then if I need the place of the chair, I just take the hammer off. That's the truth. There's no bus by klish m'lachta l'isser. It's only by something which is like a leichta, which is muksa machmas gufa, because it has fire. Okay? Now, there's something called a basis for Isser and Heter. This is what was mentioned. A basis for Isser and Heter. Meaning, if when Shabbos started, besides my leichter being on the table, I also had something Heter. This is where the minute comes from. To put challahs on the table, or to put a sefer on the table. Now my table is a base for something Heter and Isser. Question is, what's more valuable to me? Now, it doesn't have to be more valuable in value, in monetary value, but what's more valuable to me? So if I have my chalas on the table, and I have my leicht on the table, think if you ask most people, what would you rather have? Dark with food, or no food with light? They'll say food with dark. So the chalas is more valuable to you. So therefore, that's called a basis, the dava isser, or the dava het. Then the het is more valuable to me. So we consider it as if the table is the base for the heter, and I'm allowed to move the table. So let's move on to a tray. I have my leichta on a tray. And on Shabbos, I'm going to want to move the tray so I can switch the tablecloth. So if I put something mutter on the tray, now the tray is a holder for something mutter and something aser. So how are we going to view it? So over here, it gets a little tricky, because one of the conditions for a basis of an iser and of a heter is that it has to be the thing that's holding the base, that the base is made to hold this object, to hold this item. So what some people do is that they put their rings on the tray, I don't know if that works, because a tray is not made to hold rings. A tray is made to hold challahs. A tray is made to hold the leichta. So if you put your challah on the tray, and the leichta on the tray, so then yeah. Then on Shabbos, after the lights go out, I can take the tray and move it off the table. But it has to be something that makes sense that you put on this tray. A table holds svarim, a table holds many things. Therefore, on a table, it makes sense that you could put svarim or rings or something like that. But if you're trying to make the tray into a basis for isn't it, has to be something that's shaykh, that belongs on a tray.
That's a similar idea with the bucket that catches the water from the
night. That's right. So over there, that's a good point. Let's go back to that case. I have the waters dripping down. This water is muksa. So I put the bucket over there. Now I'm gonna wanna move this bucket. So I put something mutter in it, which is more valuable to me. A candy, a tuna fish can has more value to me than the water that's dripping in there. Now that there's Isser and Heta over there, I could go ahead and I could spill it out. I could move it.
But do you have to put something that belongs in a bucket?
Yeah, it makes sense. You can store it.
You don't put a can to it.
Yeah, but a pail, you carry things in it. Yeah, your pail you use for a sponge of water, but you can use a pail. It makes sense to I don't know, that sounds so strange to me.
So
which one
is put a ring on a leichta tray?
Yeah? Only because you're used to hearing people doing that.
Yeah, so what if it's something that everybody does, meaning, let's say people have like an onion or a tefillah that they say after lighting. So that's on the tray, right? And could it's something that we always have on the tray every single, like, so it became something that you put on a tray, even though it's not necessarily like food or something that you put on a tray. But it is something that became acceptable to on a tray. Is that
okay, maybe a sitter or a sefer.
It's like a tefillah that you say
right,
after
it goes
lighting.
With the halakhos neiros, and I have a halakhos neiros tray. It says on el chvayet Shabbos. Okay, I hear that. That's a good point. Yeah, that's fine. Now, what happens if on Shabbos I find money in my pocket? Does my shirt, does my pants, does my skirt become a bustis or not? So over here it's brought down that it depends what type of pocket. If it's a pocket like a shirt pocket where the shirt, it's just a piece of material sewn to the shirt, and the shirt is acting as the base for the muksa, so then the shirt will become a bustis. But if it's a pants pocket where it's just a separate piece of material like sewn on, so then the pants does not become a bustis. The pocket may be a bustis, but the pants not. And therefore the halacha is, based on what we started off, we said you can move muksa with your guf. So let's say I'm by the kaisel, or wherever I am, and I find that there's something muksa in my pocket, the best thing is just leave it in your pocket, as long as there's an eruv. If there's no eruv, then we have a hitzah problem, a carrying problem. If there's no problem with carrying, so then you could just continue walking to wherever you need to get to, and over there you'll shake out the muksa. And that'll be enough. There's a discussion about a ring of keys, where one of the keys is to my car or to my something that's muksa that cannot be used on Shabbos. So does that make the whole ring buses or muksa or not? So we can say, since you have other keys on the chain, which are to my apartment, to my house, to my other rooms, which are mutter, so it's like a bus to a dava asa and dava mutter, and therefore it won't be asa. However, once we mentioned before that it really once was to do near, so it could be before Shabbos, try to make sure that you have your house key separate. But if you didn't put it separate, then just be careful only to touch your house key, touch the car key, and that will be fine.
But the point is not that you can't touch it
because
it can move.
Right. So I'm taking it by moving it through. I'm taking the house key, and then everything else is just coming along with it. So that's fine.
So
I can't.
Technically, you
can drag the table. I could drag. Yeah, but when the light was on the table, when Shabbos started. table was yesterday. Okay,
so there's nothing to do if you find money in your shirt pocket.
So then also just, over there, the same thing will be true. It's a tilt of a guff. Just continue walking with it. But it's a little more difficult because maybe the shirt, but most cases I forgot it, right? So we're missing that rule. If I forgot it, then the shirt doesn't become a buses. So then I can take the shirt off and shake it out and the shirt will be fine. Okay.
Put it there with
like
the let's
wall. Say
you have a baby and you have money in your pocket
in case
you have to pay.
Okay, so that's the best idea. That what I tell people is put it into your pants pocket, and then just walk around wherever it is. And in the hospital, if you want, you could just, again, if you need to show them the passport, okay. But if not, then just show them where the passport is. Let them take it out, look at it, and put it back for you. Mm-hmm. Or I'll give you an example. There was a person as follows. She lived in Mata stuff. And her mother lived by Kikar Shabbos. And she felt that it was very important for her to visit her mother Shabbos afternoon with her children. But she was in her 8th month and it was very difficult for her to walk both ways. So she wanted to, and to ask her mother for money was not an Eitzah for whatever reason. She couldn't ask her for money. So she needed to get back home, but she had to take a bus and she needed her card. That card is Muksa. So the eitzah over here was that before Shabbos, she should take a bag with some oranges and put her card in it. So now you have a bag with mutter and asa. If she's going to shake out the Muksa, it's going to cause her a loss because she won't be able to get back Muksa Shabbos. So she's allowed to leave the card in there. So now she goes to her mother, she's taking this bag which has heter and iser, and then she'll eat the oranges with her children over there, so it comes out that she carried it because the oranges were important to her, and now she has her card, Matzah Shabbos. Sure. So then the same thing over here also, if someone needs to go to the hospital, they should prepare before Shabbos, they should always prepare once they go into the 9th month a bag, but they should prepare a bag with things which are mutter, things with the passport and whatever else they need with mutter things in the bag, so that it's a total of mutter with heter. And then we get to us, you deal with it over there.
What about like a pouch that's attached to the top of the stroller? Like where you usually keep that?
Is that also? Again, l'chatchila, one should try not to have muksa in there, but if you see you have muksa in there, just leave it and you push in the stroller.
You're walking somewhere far for shalshos, and you want to take the bus back.
If there's a real need for it, so then try to put something mutter and asr in the pouch, mm-hmm. And I'll be fine.
Does that thing that mutter have to be more important than asr?
For you on Shabbos, it should be more important for you on Shabbos. Yeah.
On Shabbos, it's more important because all I
think. Yeah. Is so that's why I said like put some oranges or something that you'll eat. That's important.
So I read it was oranges.
Sure, that's another term of monetary value. Right now, if you had a choice, the card or the oranges, you'll take the oranges. Okay, so we just covered the basic. I hope I was clear. It is a little complicated, but I think if you got the basic rules, you should be able to apply it, okay?
Thank you very much.
Have a wonderful evening.